Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hardly working.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
He was like out of fashion with his jeans at the time. Like he was wearing these carpenter jeans with like, you know, ones you can hang like the
hammer loops. Yeah, okay, all right.
We used to clown him every day.
And Chris Ello.
I think most wives, even though their feelings are hurt, really ought to just try their best to stay out of this kind of stuff. It's
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, halfway through some Gwen and Chris. First time back since Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you here listening. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, and Matthew Scraby, who has been doing a stand-up job on pregame. And, you know, Chris always does a terrific job on his pre and post games, and so I just thought I'd show him a little love. Give you guys a round of applause, please. Because there you go, Scott.
Thank you.
You're a little slow today.
It's been a week.
Touche. All right, so I pulled out my score book
for how long the games have been.
Yeah, I just want to go over this.
Let me hang on. I want to just get a little look.
So we got
very neat, Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know, I'm working. My neatness hasn't always been this way.
Sweet.
I'm learning.
Look at the pink highlighter for strikeouts. Very colorful.
I change it up. I change it up every game. So
ooh. Very colorful.
The first game of the season.
He's got like his official Bob Carpenter scorebook. The
very
voice of the Washington Nationals sent
right.
that to you.
Yes, he did.
You're making good use of it.
I am. I am actually excited to fill out a full season and go back and look through it.
Sure.
I got Joe Musgrove's no-hitter in here. I plan to get that signed at some point. I'm stealing Jesse's idea. By the way, my man Jesse has had some things stolen from him over the last couple of days. You know, Don stole one of his liners.
Stealing like
not real stuff.
I thought he actually had stuff taken.
Not real stuff.
But Don stealing some of his
catchphrases.
Some of his phrases, man.
Catchphrases.
Yeah. It's,
Don Orsillo would never do something like that, would he? Don.
To poke the bear, I think he would. I definitely think he would.
All right.
But anyway, the time of the first game of the season was 3:26. Now, that was an 8-7 game. So
3:26, and it seemed like forever because I remember that opening day.
But here is where, and there's a couple of these ones. The second game of the season was 3 hours and 53 minutes.
Ugh.
Just guess what the score was for that game.
4-2.
4-2. There was 4 runs scored. There were 6 runs scored by both teams. We went almost 4 hours.
Yeah.
We got one game. We got a couple games under three this year. This third game was 2:57. We had a 3:19. In a 3-1 game, right? A 3:35 in a 3-2 game.
I remember that one.
2:53 was pretty quick.
It's not, but it comparably is.
I'll take it, right?
Yeah, right.
3:21 for a 3-2 game.
Yeah.
I didn't get this one. This was Joe. See, I was so excited.
Didn't write Joe's in.
I didn't even write the final
like
score.
Hours, right?
It was a short. It was under three. It was under three.
No hitters should be under three.
But the following game.
Hang on, I got Joe's here. because I have my scorebook on the games I've done.
The following game after Joe's was 4 hours and 6 minutes.
My goodness. His no-hitter was 246.
246. Okay.
Wow. Jot it down. If you're going to get it signed, you better have it.
Oh, that's true.
Your
that's
book
true.
Accurate.
So the day after his no-hitter, it went 4 hours and 6 minutes, and then they had another four-hour game on Tuesday night. So they had 2 4-plus-hour games in a period of 5 games.
We live in the three-hour space. Oh, yeah. You're talking about the 8-4 loss. Yeah, that was 4 hours and 7 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. And then Saturday was 4 hours and 6 minutes.
We can do an entire show and still catch the ninth inning.
And
that's how long these games are.
Think about
how much time you say it was?
246 on the no-hitter.
And to think about how weird baseball is, we even had a rain delay of 20 to 25 minutes on Monday with Yu Darvish, and that one was like 3 hours.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Nothing's easy.
But we've been talking about this Padres squad, and obviously a lot of questions surrounding Fernando Tatis Jr. Will he be back this weekend? To Nelson Lamet, how close is he? Austin Nola, how close is he? I can't say I have any information on Nola. It sounds like DeNelson threw about 65-75 pitches today, and then he planned I think he's already – oh, you got audio. Let's play the audio. It sounds better.
Yeah, this is Jace Tingler post-game when asked about DeNelson Lamet and Fernando Tatis Jr.
First on Lamet, he's throwing today, so his plan is to throw around, you know, 65-75 pitches down there, and then he's going to drive up to San Diego. So I haven't gotten the report yet. You know, we'll wait till he gets done. But we should see him face-to-face tomorrow if everything goes well. As far as Tatis, he took a live BP today, probably had his best day today as far as the at-bats. And so just a couple of things we got to go over, get with our medical team and things like that. And we're, you know, optimistic that he's got a good chance to be ready to play tomorrow.
That is music to San Diego's ears. Yes, yeah. For sure.
How about Jace Tingler, though? Never going to tell you that he's going to for sure play tomorrow night. Hey, not until the lineup name goes down. The name goes down on the lineup card.
My man Jace.
He's not going to tell you.
He's gotten more Belichick on. Belichickian on us.
In his second year. Wait till he's doing this for about 10 years. You're not going to get anything out of it.
Don't let him win a couple rings. We will never get any information out of him.
No, Jace is so tight with that information. And, you know, he honestly, I think, truly believes that it's an advantage to him to not tell other teams what's going on.
So he 100% does.
That's why he sticks with this way of going about things. I can't say I disagree with him.
He has plainly said, I don't think it's in our benefit to release that information.
Right, yeah.
He has said that on a couple occasions.
A bunch of times. Has he announced a closer yet?
Kind of.
Even though Melanson's 5-for-5?
He kind of has. I mean, he didn't say he's my closer.
No, he still won't say
it. I think he said something along the lines of, well, I mean, he's the closer right now.
He's doing the job. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It is kind of funny to talk or to listen to Jace Tingler. But you know what? He can do this as long as everything is done by Zoom interview.
Yep.
Because I think it'll change a little bit, Tony, when we get back to reporters going back into locker rooms and having the ability to talk to players themselves. Then Jace Tingler is going to have to probably either share some more information or he's going to be asked more pointed questions because the reporters are going to be talking to a Fernando Tatis Jr. before they talk to him.
1,000%.
But right now, they don't get a chance to talk, so they don't really know anything.
That is such a good point, Chris, because how it normally works is they open up the clubhouse, reporters can go talk to whoever's by their locker, and they usually go to players first, and then they'll talk to the coach thereafter. Mm-hmm. Or before the game, they'll get some words from the players, and then the manager usually has a scrum in the dugout or wherever he decides to hold it. And when you're having direct questions and there are follow-ups to questions, a lot easier than on Zoom. Right now, every team can kind of dictate who you get to talk to. Like Padres will say, you know, Jace was talking at this time, and let's say Camposano's talking at this time. Those will be the only two guys you get, and that's really across – the league. That's how it works. And you don't have like a buffet of players you can go to because the Zoom is kind of dictated. But once that's done,
Yeah, it'd be a little bit harder to keep some of the information down.
I think so.
For sure.
But, you know, anyway, I think Jace is doing a good job doing it his way, and it's worked out for him. So he ought to stick with it. But I'm kind of used to it from this side of things, knowing that he's not going to really tell us anything. I think we all know Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be in the lineup tomorrow night. If he's not, I think we'll all be very, very surprised.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. Padres finish up the road trip 5-2, swept the Rangers, split the series, a four-game set with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this is, I mean, obviously, you would have loved to have gone 7-0 or 6-1.
But I know, come on!
5-2 is good. It's plenty good enough. And now you roll into a series with a team that is right now the best team in baseball in terms of record-wise. They're playing really well, and
they're playing the worst team in baseball. They're beating up on them.
They are indeed. And our man, Mr. Dylan Hernandez, told us we shouldn't take that lightly. Like,
no.
He made the point that the Rockies are really bad right now.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are making them pay for that. There's no question. What'd you think of Paddock today? We haven't really talked about that. I didn't get a chance to see the game this morning, so I know you did and called it. Five innings, one earned run. Look, I think for Paddock, at least based on the statistic, the numbers, it's a step in the right direction.
No doubt. He needed
something positive to happen. He needed a positive result. It certainly didn't hurt to give him four runs in
that
the top of the first inning. That helps anybody. But, you know, for Chris Paddock, I'm in the school of thought that feels like he's just kind of had his confidence all shot.
No doubt.
And taken away. I still think he's got the stuff to be successful at the big league level. I know a lot of people think he's got to go get, you know, down to the minor leagues and learn a curveball or whatever the case may be. But he got big league hitters out 2 years ago. I think he can get them out again once he's confident.
Yeah.
To me, was a step in the right direction, but I didn't see him.
No, so. I completely agree. He is a guy whose confidence has been rattled a little bit, and rightfully so. He's had a rough 2020 season. It didn't get off to the greatest start this season, but I think he's really doing his best to try to, when he gets into a little bit of trouble, to limit the damage. Now, obviously, you'd like him to not get into trouble
right, and
have to go through this every start, but I've seen a difference in him over the last two starts. Now, he didn't get the opportunity in that Texas game. He kind of weathered the storm in the, I believe it was the second inning, and then kind of got back on track, but there were some things clearly that, you know, Jace Tingler didn't like what he was seeing, so he took him out in the fourth, I believe. And today, he was able to get through the fifth. He actually might have had a chance to pitch into the sixth had Tucapita Marcano not dropped the third out of the fifth inning.
Yeah, that cost him two earned runs.
That cost him one earned run, but it also made him have to throw more pitches.
Right, he ended up at 99 five innings.
I actually thought that this was a definite step in the right direction, and he looked like he felt the same way too. When the look on his face after being taken out of in the fourth in Texas, it was a completely different look today. You could see the guys in the dugout recognize, hey, good start. I saw Haas early in the game, like talking to him, and I think that goes a long way with Chris. He seems to be a guy that, you know, really feeds off his teammates and the people around him, and if they're going to be positive and he's going to give outings like today, hopefully it gets better from here. I mean, he had two walks today. You'd like to see him get the walks out of there, right? Just force contact, soft contact. And you look at the some of the analytic numbers, and it's only, what, three starts at this point for him, maybe four, right?
Three
starts for him.
Yeah.
They aren't squaring the ball up like they were last year against him. So he's got some numbers that are trending in the right direction from an advanced analytics standpoint, but there's a long way to go, certainly, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's step away, take a break. When we return, Scraby, what we got?
We got our new little our trial game, overreaction or not.
Oh, yeah, this could be some fun. All right, well, stay tuned. Overreaction or not when we come back. Gwen and Chris.
No. Nah.
I just said nah.
Nah.
Are you saying a T?
No.
Neither am I, so we're good. 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just want to let you Padre fans know that Antoni know that we're not the only ones sitting through long baseball games this year. Watching this Arizona-Washington game tonight. They've been playing an hour and 20 minutes. They're in the top of the third inning, and the score is 10-4. It's like a little league game. It's like they're never going to get done with this game. What do you think is holding the games up this year? What's making them so long? I know everybody's got their theory on how they can change it, Tony, but my theory is that guys are just taking so many more pitches than they used to take. And it's really as simple as that. But more pitches lead to a longer game. What do you think of it? You're watching all these things.
I think it's a couple of things. I think most teams are constructed in a way that they can only win with walks and homers.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, you think guys take too many pitches. I think pitchers don't attack the zone enough. Because you can only take pitches if they're not strikes.
Right.
I mean, you can only take two strikes before, if you take the third one, you're walking back to the bench.
Go sit down.
And so I think teams value strikeouts. And because teams value strikeouts, they have pitchers that do that. And when you're trying to get a punch out, like, you know who's a good example of a guy who doesn't try to get strikeouts? Mark Melancon.
Melancon, yeah.
He's not in there trying to get strikeouts. He wants you to put the ball in play softly somewhere where an infielder or an outfielder can catch it and get an out. That, believe it or not, over the course of nine innings, if you had guys that are pitching to contact and guys, and it doesn't mean you can't have strikeouts, but when that's the only way you're trying to get outs, it leads to either long at bats where you eventually may get the strikeout, or you eventually walk, or they put the ball in play. But as opposed to a guy who's putting it in, Yu Darvish, for example, in his last start, that was once something he said he was actually purposely doing. Wasn't trying to get strikeout. Trying to pitch to contact because I knew our ball club needed me to get deeper into the game.
The guys do a better job of fouling off pitches with two strikes now than they ever have before.
I think they do.
Keeping at bats alive forever.
I think
they
do. At least watching the Padres, they definitely do.
Yeah.
But I think all around the league, that's something that guys spoil pitches better now.
Yeah. Because I know we were talking about the time of games earlier, and I just remember going back to the first couple games of the season, and in both games there were over 300 pitches thrown in the games.
Yeah.
So that's going to take 4 hours. I mean, it just takes that long to throw that many pitches. I don't know. I think baseball's doing everything they can, but I think it's all cosmetic.
Baseball is. But the teams aren't necessarily doing all they can, right?
Right.
Because they have their formula. And you know, it's driven a lot by economics, right? And I say that because not every team can afford to go out and get whatever players. So they got to find other ways to win ball games. And so right now, pitching, these guys are throwing as hard as they've ever thrown in the history of baseball.
By a lot.
It's not close. Like, it's jumped. Like over the last couple years by maybe a mile an hour and a half. And that's a lot when you're averaging fastballs. But
I do feel like there's some hope, right? I think that there are some teams that are trying to do it differently offensively. They're not more guys trying to put the ball in play. You're hearing that a lot more than you ever have, at least in the last 5 years. Launch angle came on the scene, and it was like launch angle heavy. That's all anybody was trying to do. And now you're starting to hear guys talk about flattening the bat path a little bit so they can make contact. And I think as long as teams are still approaching pitching where it's we're redlining, I mean, we're max effort, trying to throw as hard as we can.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of pitches until you learn how to just command the bat. Maybe throttle back a 2 or 3% so you can command this hard fastball you have.
Yeah, because commanding the fastball doesn't mean just throwing a strike. It means throwing a strike that misses the meat of the bat, right? I mean, getting it off the barrel of the bat, but keeping it in the strike zone. I mean, because I'm gonna, Randy's the obvious example. We always come to mind, Randy Jones. But how did he ever get guys out throwing in the low 80s?
Pinpoint command.
Right? He threw strikes, but he didn't throw strikes that were easy to hit.
But the thing is, when you command a baseball the way a guy like Randy did or like Maddux, you can throw a ball on the edge, and then you can throw a ball that looks like it's on the edge, and it goes off the edge. And that entices the swing because they already in your mind know he's throwing strikes. I can't sit here and try to walk my way to first base.
Right.
He's going to throw strikes. I got to be on the attack. But now, because he can command a baseball, you're at his mercy. Like I'll throw this little two seamer that looks for a right hander that looks like it's way outside and it's going to come running back on the outside corner. Like, we don't have very many guys like that. There's maybe a handful of guys that you can depend on that can command a baseball and throw it where they want to most of the time.
That you walk into the batter's box and know I better be swinging against this guy.
Right. Maybe two handfuls. Maybe 10 guys out of all the starting pitchers in the league.
Yeah.
Melanson is really an outlier for the bullpen, right?
Sure.
Like, he is on the he throws a lot of strikes. A lot of it's moving. It's not in the middle of the plate. He wants you to put it in play. And guess what? You know what that does? That keeps the interest of the fan watching the game. If all day long it's a strikeout and a walk, I'm probably going to flip the channel to something else, at least for a little bit. I'm going to come back, but I'm not going to stay on that.
Mark Melanson, by the way, this year has faced 19 hitters. He's retired 18. So that's not too shabby. It can work.
It can work.
If you're able to command the ball. And Melanson's doing that. And he's still got five strikeouts in six innings.
Really,
so it's not like he's not getting any.
Really, the whole law firm is commanding. Kella, Pomeranz, Pagan. He might be the only one that
struggled a little bit.
Right. But he ain't given up anything in terms of runs.
Nope. None of them have.
And then you got Melanson. The law firm is an outlier in bullpens to me. Like, they just come in. It's usually a quick inning because they're bam, 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 all around the plate.
They are. They've been great so far, and hopefully we'll see them in action starting tomorrow night in about the sixth inning against the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, Scraby, did you want to get to this new segment that you and Tony were arguing over the name of?
You already know where I'm going with that.
Sorry, man. We got passionate discussion.
No, Chris gets sometimes, I'm just going to say it, and he might kill me in the break, but he gets distracted by shiny objects sometimes.
That was a good conversation we had to have.
That's why I wasn't freaking out over here.
So then you don't need to take a shot at my man, then, if it wasn't the...
It's just in my nature.
Yeah, I know.
I have to.
Hey, Scrab, you want to take a shot at me? Get in line. Get in line. You see that really long line winding its way around the building? That's the people that want to take a shot. So go ahead, get in line.
Oh, I thought they were just in line to meet me.
Nope, take a shot. Take your shot. All right.
Would you rather do the new game? I'm being serious. Would you guys rather do the new game in this next segment and do a little Daily Gambit? Because we didn't make any bets to review, and there's not many bets to make tonight. It's just
NBA then
games.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that. Sounds like a good plan. We can do that.
All right, thank you.
We can.
Sorry,
Scraby's happy now.
Start the new little game.
No, I can go either way.
It's called Overreaction or Nah.
No. Chris, we're going to have to go over this in the break.
What?
It's Overreaction or Nah.
Says the man who called them the Baltimore Oilers.
Hey!
The Baltimore Oilers.
They may have searched for oil at some point in their Baltimore history.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. Do you know what the Baltimore Orioles were before they were the Baltimore Orioles?
The Orange Birds?
St. Louis Browns.
The Orange Bird. Scraby.
All right. Let's just throw knock it off, Scraby.
On that note.
5:34 on the clock. I know some of y'all on Twitter are quite sensitive. I just want to point that out.
Took me by surprise, but I appreciate it.
5:34 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We got Chris on the line. Not Chris Ello, different Chris. He's got an idea about maybe how to possibly speed this game up. Chris, welcome to the show, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Tony? What's up, Chris?
How you doing?
What's up, Scraby?
I'm doing
well. Hey, yeah, Tony's right. This game, the rules are 100 years old, and this is a drastic idea. But
be careful now with your drastic ideas. You know, people lose their mind.
You might like it, but, well, Tony knows that, you know, in spring training or, you know, minor leagues and games are dragging, we'll go up there with a 1-1 count. Now, that's not the rule I want, okay? But we would start at a bat with a 1-1 count just to get things going. But this rule is a 2-for-4. And what I mean by that is the pitcher gets four balls only if they get two strikes on the batter. Otherwise, it's three balls and a walk. So you get these guys throwing balls over the plate early in the count. If they get two strikes, now they get to waste one if they want. But, I mean, how many times have you seen a guy go 3-0 and then throw one right down the middle? And you're like, why didn't he do that like the first, second, and third pitch? Like, get this thing going. And get these pitchers to work on their control, you know, make it a little bit more challenging.
Now, listen, Chris, thank you for the phone call, first of all.
It's pretty involved. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
So you got to get to two strikes.
To get a fourth ball.
In order to get the fourth ball. What happens if you don't get?
So if it's a 2-1 count and you throw ball three, then it's a walk.
Ah.
So that means that there's going to be twice as many walks. That's my problem with that idea. I don't hate the idea. I like his thinking.
Right.
I like what he's trying to get the pitchers to throw strikes earlier in the count so that they don't get in a situation where they, you know, can't waste a pitch.
I think that the solution is don't max effort throw.
Right.
You know, listen, there was a reason why it was such a big deal, like Curt Schilling was getting stronger as the game went on. It was like he came out at like 92 and he was spotting up. Had the split. By like the fifth, sixth, he's dialing it up 94. He's got the location thing down.
Right.
And, you know, John Smoltz, who I think is he was just a brilliant baseball mind. I love listening to John.
Yeah.
And he talks about pitchers redlining like all the time.
From the first pitch
of
the game.
From the first pitch of the game. Just think of your car. Yeah. And if you are just riding that bad boy in the red line, you know what happens, right? Your car breaks down eventually. That's what happens to all these arms, is everybody is, you know, throwing as hard as they can. There's one thing to do that if you're a reliever. But starters, you would like to be able to like kind of hold on to something a little bit.
But it all starts when you're growing up, right? Or in the systems, because
it starts even before that. You know why? Because, and you know,
the little kids even see these guys.
Partly,
doing what they're doing.
I blame our time at Qualcomm, because Qualcomm was one of the first stadiums
to post the
miles per hour.
I know.
And you know, once you open up that can, there's no going back.
Liked it, probably because I would have been embarrassed by it had I been pitching. But at the same time, you're right. It made the miles per hour seem more important than they really were.
Right.
And I don't know. I was always taught to throw strikes. And if you throw strikes, you're going to be successful, move the ball around, take a little off, put a little on, et cetera. But now you're right. It's just throw as hard as you can and let it go where it may. And
right.
As long as that's the case, games are going to take 3.5 hours. And I don't think it's going to really change much if they put a 25-second clock in.
The clock,
it's not going to change with the mound visits.
I think
it's not going to change with the three consecutive batter. Rules they put in have been cosmetic, but they haven't helped.
I think the clock has no benefit at all.
No.
Because nobody seems to pay attention to it anyway.
No, it's just ticking
down. Just there. It's just there to let you know what should be happening.
When is the last time any pitcher in any game was getting ready to go into the windup, and the buzzer went off? And the umpire came out and said, sorry, didn't throw the pitch in time.
Ball.
That's actually amazing, and I hope they do that.
It's never happened.
That's what's supposed to happen.
But it's never happened.
Wait, it actually is supposed to happen like that? Like, I knew that they had the timer and everything.
I don't think there was a buzzer goes off.
No, buzzer doesn't go off, but you're looking at the clock, and if it gets to zero.
Yeah. No, I get that, yeah.
And you haven't pitched, it's supposed to be a ball. I've actually seen it happen, like, twice in my career, and it was like, in AAA.
Oh, in AAA.
In AAA.
I was going to say, I've never seen it at the big league level.
And it was, like, early in the game, a pitcher was taking too long, bam, they get you. And what in those cases, it works. All of a sudden, you're paying attention to that clock. But do you really want that to be affecting a game at the big league level? No.
No.
You don't. Just, you know. But that's just, you know, that's our take. That's our take. All right. What were we supposed to do? Oh, yes, our new game.
Let's talk about something else so we can put the game off a little longer.
Chris really wants to do that. We don't have to play the game, Chris.
No, I want to play the game. Okay, I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's get traffic, too, though.
Boom.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We are going to go. We usually do the Daily Gambit right here, which is our daily sports betting segment, usually right after 5:30. We are going to skip it today. We didn't make any bets last week since we had so much time off, and we'll start making some more bets tomorrow. But I wanted to get some quick gambling notes in real quick before we go to our new game. The NFL announced what it's calling is its first U.S. sportsbook partnerships with Caesars Entertainment, DraftKings, and FanDuel. Those companies now are the NFL's official sports betting partners. As of today, FanDuel is the official sportsbook and daily fantasy sports partner for the Phoenix Suns, and they're actually going to be making a physical retail store in the Phoenix Suns arena, which should be ready to go next season. So you're going to be able to bet on sports and bet on that game in the stadium.
While it's going on.
While it's going on.
Like, if a guy dribbles the ball up the floor, can you bet whether or not he's going to shoot, whether he's going to pass?
Probably. I would assume so.
It's getting a little crazy, right, to try to keep up with
all of it. It is, I will admit. There's a MLB does something. I can't remember what it's called. It's called it's like a gambling thing, but they put it on the screen, and they did this during the Padres game the other day, and it was like, what is Tommy Pham going to do?
Is that MLB or is that Bally?
No, it's MLB. It was on the MLB Network. Okay. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it would say, like, what is he going to do?
That would help.
Get a hit, get an out, hit a home run, or, hit it to the outfield and get an out or whatever. So they're doing something like that. But nothing like what the PGA Tour is doing, which they're partnering with DraftKings, and they're going to open a sportsbook on site at TPC Scottsdale, where the Waste Management Open is every year, and they're calling it a state-of-the-art premium experience for fans to be able to bet on all sports at the golf course, according to Golf Digest. And Arizona on Monday passed legislation that will allow mobile and retail sports betting, but also gives professional sports league the ability to open the in-stadium type retail experiences, which is why FanDuel is going to open it with the Phoenix Suns. But like for golf, Chris, it was too crazy for me. I'm trying to get into all this betting stuff, but when someone's on a tee box and you have to choose quickly and money's on the line of where this guy ends up, it's a lot of pressure. And then, you know what? The best part, I guess, about betting for me is leading up to it, being excited for it, watching the game and all that stuff. But here, you're going to bet on someone hitting the fairway, and then it's over like that, and you've lost $100 or whatever.
You've won $100.
Or you've won $100, and then you put $200 down on someone missing
the green.
On the
next shot, and you lose that.
And then you lose that. So that's
it's usually how gambling works.
Yeah,
can anybody just enjoy a game anymore? I know the answer to that is no.
This may surprise you, Chris. I agree with you on that. I think the art of watching a sporting event and being locked in on that game is over. It's over. The stuff that's happening on the field. Now we're more concerned with what's going on in social media and all the other stuff.
Trey Turner, for example, just flied out to right field to end the fourth inning in the National Diamondback game. I wonder how many people bet on that.
I bet you a lot.
I mean, tens of thousands of dollars probably just changed hands on that fly ball.
Probably.
Right?
It's crazy, but it's a huge industry, and that's why we wanted to get started on the Daily Gambit a little bit early before everybody does that. So those are the news and notes of the gambling world. Now, to our new game, it's called Overreaction or Nah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys like a headline or a sentence, and then I'm going to ask you overreaction or not, and you tell me what it is and why you're feeling.
Before you ask, did anybody see the young lady in Pittsburgh snatch the foul ball in the stands?
I did not.
Beer in one hand.
Oh, yes, I did.
Boyfriend, I think her boyfriend, some guy to her right trying to catch the ball, and she's sitting down, not a drop spilled. She snatched the ball.
She did.
It was a hard hit foul ball, too, bare hand.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Pretty impressive.
Was it as impressive as the young lady in San Diego caught the one in her beer?
I would say,
yeah,
because she, well, the finish was better from the young lady in San Diego.
Right. We had her on the show, actually.
I know. She got on the show from that.
No, this one was better. She caught a foul ball barehanded and didn't spill a drop.
That's pretty
amazing. And was like gassed up. And I would have been too if I snatched a ball barehanded with a beer.
Now, real quick, since we're going in this direction, there's been some arguments on Twitter. If you're a fan who catches a foul ball or a home run and spills your drink, and so say the home run hits your drink and it spills over, does the ballpark get you a new drink for free?
No, they don't have to.
Now
you're trying to get a ball. There's consequences. There's.
But what if the ball just like hits your drink?
Justin Turner hit a home run last night and landed in some guy's nachos, and they spilled all over his Dodger jersey.
They brought him a jersey and a hoodie.
Nachos, wow, that's pretty good.
I mean, so teams can do it. Should they have to? I don't know if they should have to.
Right. It was a nice touch.
It was.
Okay.
Certainly, if you want to bring the fans out, keep them coming. That's a way to do it.
Yeah, and a foul ball or a home run ball is plenty of payment enough for the memories you have for the rest of your life.
I guess.
That was a very nice sentiment by me.
Poetics, baby.
All right. Tony, you're up first on this one.
Word.
Okay, the overreaction or not. Through three starts this season, this is who Chris Paddock is. A number four starter for the Padres, and he'll never get back to the 2019 form.
Overreaction or not?
Oh, I should say. Overreaction or not.
So the overreaction would be...
The overreaction is that... No, he'll get back to his form.
He'll never be any good. No, the overreaction is that he'll never be good again.
No.
Yeah, I'm confused.
I'm saying, is this thought an overreaction or not?
Okay. Yeah, I think it's an overreaction. I think Chris can get back to his form. If he gets back to his form in the number four slot, man, oh, man, oh, man.
He's a good number four pitcher.
Padres got something cooking, but... He's got a little ways to go. Listen, the league has made an adjustment to him. And right now, he is navigating that adjustment that was made to him, and he's trying to figure out, you know, how to get back to where he was. I have faith that he can do it. I know I might be in the minority as it pertains to that, but I think he can. And I think with Morty Hohn injured, depending on how serious it is, I think he's going to have more of an opportunity.
That's a good point about Morejon.
Morejon.
Morejon, not Morejon. Chris, is this an overreaction or not? Through three starts this season, this is who Chris Paddock is, a number four starter for the Padres, and he won't get back to 2019 form.
Yes, that's an overreaction. I think he has a chance to get back to form. He's got a ways to go, as Tony said, but I think the one part of it that is probably not an overreaction is that he's a number four starter because he's on a team that has three really good starters ahead of him. But I don't see why Paddock can't win 15 games this year pitching for this great team.
Okay. Next one, and I'm just going to read the thought, and you guys are going to tell me if that thought is an overreaction or not. Chris, you're up first on this one. Tommy Pham is hurting the lineup more than helping and should become a bench player.
Yes, that's what I've been saying all day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That you should stick him on the bench and never let him play again.
Yeah.
No, it's a total overreaction.
No, I know.
Of course it is. It's way too early in the season to bench Tommy Pham.
All right. Tony, Tommy Pham should become a bench player. Overreaction or not?
That's an overreaction.
I know. I put that one in earlier.
That's an overreaction.
We've already talked about it.
Tommy has not swung the bat well. There's no argument there. But it's also April 15, and does anybody have close to them how many at-bats he has right now? It can't be that many. They played 14 games.
47 at-bats, something like that.
So is that what we're doing now? We're going to critique a guy, an everyday guy on 47 at-bats? That's what we're doing?
Pretty much.
There's always got to be one guy on the team that everybody wants to hate. Like Will Myers was a few years ago. And now it's Tommy Pham.
That's an overreaction. And as we go through these questions, I'm just going to just start name dropping folks that should be off the team or made bench players.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Tony, you're up on this one then.
And listen, I'm not saying that it's not possible he has a bad year, but I am saying it's way too early to go down that path right now.
Yeah. Manny Machado has 12 strikeouts in 14 games this season. His career high for a season is 128. Manny, this is the overreaction or nah part. Manny is going to have the most strikeouts of his career this season. Tony, you're up first on that one.
How many does he have?
He has 12 through 14 games.
He had the most last...
Two seasons ago. The Padres. In 2019, he had 128.
No, I don't think it's an overreaction to say he will. It's an overreaction to say he will have his most... You know, Javi Baez?
Yeah.
Should be on the bench.
Why? Because he strikes out a lot.
Hitting 200.
Oh.
Right at the Mendoza line. Put him on the bench.
Man, if I was in Chicago, we'd be asking this question there. Chris?
You probably would.
Chris, do you think it's an overreaction or not to say Manny is going to have the most strikeouts of his career this season?
Nah.
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 I just felt like saying that once.
Oh, good. Good. I like it.
I don't know. He could set a new strikeout record this year. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
All right. We'll move on
But I still think he'll end up with his 35 home runs.
No doubt.
Automatic.
Right. He probably will, yeah.
Every single year.
He does. Chris, you're first. If the Padres lose 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Dodgers, the Padres are now playing for second place in the NL West. I've seen this many times on Twitter. That's how I got it named.
That's so ludicrous, I can't even...
You can't even say
it's an overreaction.
It's more than an overreaction. So many things
can happen. They would potentially be 3.5 games out of first place if that happens. Are you kidding me? Season's over?
Yep, season's over.
No, I didn't say season's over. I said they're
playing for second place.
Well, playing for second place. There's a lot of people, I guess, who think they were playing for second place before the season even started.
That's true.
But yes,
Charlie Blackman, he's washed. Sit him on the bench. 154.
I love this new Tony that just...
You're going to find some really good players down there.
Yeah.
I already mentioned him earlier. Keston Hiura's down there. I think he's hitting about 115. I mean, there's some guys really struggling. Way worse than Tommy Pham.
All right, so I'm assuming Tony is going to say that's an overreaction as well.
That has to be an overreaction.
All right, what about this one?
You got a good one,
Tony, you're up. I'm trying.
You got one that's going to make us think.
This new segment isn't really going as well as I thought it was going to go. So, Tony, Jake Cronenworth isn't going to hit like this all year, and he's going to end up a sub-300 hitter by the All-Star break. Overreaction or nah? Nah meaning you think that he will be fine. Overreaction meaning... That you,
Will he hit 358 all season? Probably not.
Okay.
But I can see the way the dude
hadn't swung and missed until yesterday in like weeks. He's a contact.
He's missed three. I think before the game today, I know he's missed like three pitches.
Three
all
pitches,
year.
Like missed them all year. Not strikeout, not on a strikeout, but three pitches.
Yeah,
all season.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll hit 358, but I think he can hit 300 for a season. I do. He's got great bat to ball skill. I don't remember exactly how the question was worded in terms of
he's going to be a sub 300 hitter by the All Star break.
Nah, he ain't gonna be no sub three.
All right, I like it. What do you think, Chris?
285 last year in 2 months, but I think he's better this year than he was last year, so I say nah.
All right, now we're gonna go into regular Major League Baseball overreactions. I just have three of them, and we're running out of time, I just realized. After losing three straight to the Orioles to open the year, or the Oilers to open the year,
Freddie Freeman? Washed. Sit him down. I don't care if he won an MVP. 191. Washed.
I thought something really bad happened. After losing three straight to the
Orioles.
You
got Tony rolling on this
now. To the open the year, the Boston Red Sox have now won 9 of their last 10 and are serious World Series contenders in the American League. Chris, do you think that them being serious World Series contenders is an overreaction or not?
Overreaction because the Yankees are in that division.
All right. They also have Aaron Judge. But he's back, I know. He had 2 home runs the other day, too. Tony, what do you think? Do you think that the Red Sox are now serious World Series contenders? Overreaction or not?
I think that's a slight overreaction.
Okay, just a slight one. Just a slight one.
I know that... I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now.
J.D. Martinez.
Nope.
Cora?
Cora. I know Cora can coach his behind off. Guys... like play playing for him, yeah. But I don't know that they're this good right now. So I think it's a little bit of a reaction.
All right, let's go with the one. Let's just go with this one last because we have a minute left and it's going to be a fun one. Chris, you're up first on this.
Can
one
I
too.
Read this to you guys real quick? One of my buddies just texted this to me. Chris, I know you're listening right now too. This segment is garbage and needs to be put on the bench. Overreaction or not?
It's not an overreaction. This is probably never going to happen again. Okay? Never going to happen again.
Well, I guess it's over then.
Yeah, that's it. For all time. As soon as I was in the middle of this segment, I realized this is not going the way
I honestly didn't understand any of the questions in that entire segment.
It wasn't a
question. I like the idea of
statement.
Overreaction or not, but I don't know if the questions kind of lined up the right way.
Yeah, we'll never do this again. It's okay. It's okay. We try things sometimes, and these segments go away. Okay.
All right, it's time for our Grand Slam giveaway code word. This hour's code word is midnight. Text midnight to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't drive and text. Tune in at 55 past the hour between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. for code words. And the Grand Slam giveaway powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.